Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J. For the next half hour, keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left as we present a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. I'm speaking today with Christopher Dewdney. He's an acclaimed poet and author of Last Flesh, Life in the Transhuman Era, which established him as one of Canada's leading futurists. Christopher Dewdney lives in Toronto, Canada, where he teaches creative writing at York University. Now, Christopher, you come to transhumanism from a slightly different route than most of the folks who generally end up here. You come from the arts and media and culture kind of perspective, and most of the folks who end up in this neck of the woods come out of the science, computer, technology kind of perspective. Do you think that, is there any culture shock being a humanist in this very technophilic culture?
Well, sometimes there's a little bit of a turbulent interface, I might say, between myself and some of the more technologically oriented people who have been attracted to transhumanism. But generally speaking, I don't notice really a lot of two solitudes or a problem in communication. I'm kind of there with them on that one. I guess really I'm kind of uncharacteristic of coming from a literary background as well as a nonfiction background. I'm not really typical, I think, of my heritage.
Yeah. Do you find inspiration in historical resources like 19th century, 20th century speculations about the future that were reflected in literature and fiction? Have you tried your hand at science fiction, for instance?
Science fiction, of course, when I was younger, I read prodigiously. I used to clean out libraries. When I was 11, I can remember reading the last science fiction book, at least the last one I hadn't read at my local branch and having to go to the main branch. And so science fiction was seminal for me at the beginning. I have trouble reading science fiction now simply because I've become more literary since then, and science fiction is a bit of a genre. But what I read in place of science fiction are books like Eric Drexler's Engines of Creation or Hans Moravec's Robot. I find those to be exciting in a sense of science fiction in terms of speculating about possible future worlds, but also exciting because these are scientists and these ideas are actually plausible.
Now, you teach in a McLuhan-named program there. Have you written and thought a lot about, I presume you have, the way that technology is going to impact on the arts and culture? I mean, do you see that this is, do you think that there's going to be a qualitative change as the communication technologies advance?
Yes, I think that what I'm most looking forward to in terms of, well, let's just look at literature. There's already an effect on literature in terms of, although it's we're at the beginning of a very incremental process, but when you're doing, for instance, a grammar check, and I know that the grammar check isn't that expert, but it does look for passive sentences, the Kincaid level of passive sentences. That is a kind of intervention, a kind of an apprentice, an assistant. That's why I look at computers now as sort of digital apprentices. They're learning what we do. They're learning how to do what we do, and they're still at a very primal or nascent stage. But eventually, they're going to pick up some tricks from us. And I sort of see it as an augmentation or an extension or a freeing up of artistic ability. And I think that the first kind of prediction that I'd like to make is that what we'll have in music, particularly because as music is being digitized very rapidly, almost more so than some of the other fields, we'll certainly have the ability shortly to be able to whistle a tune into a microphone, have that tune scored, and then be able to instruct that the computer to the program to score it for violin, say, or for electronic organ, or for harmonica, and layer it. And at that stage, you'll have a device which will be able to be somebody who is not disciplined. You'll have the first non-disciplined geniuses, people who have compositional abilities, but who don't have disciplinary problems. I mean, disciplinary in the sense of not being able to apply themselves, or people who perhaps have some sort of inability or disability, will suddenly flower, and this will be an interesting period in art.
You're a Canadian, and this field of speculation about transhuman future tends to be very America-centric, or at least it's been American-led so far. And a lot of political assumptions, a lot of political world views have been encapsulated in the writings of people like Drexler. Do you find, perhaps you're comfortable with the technology, but do you find sometimes that as a Canadian, there are some alien America-centric political ideas coming along as baggage with these ideas?
That's an interesting idea. Of course, there was the whole hubris of the technocentric financial wired world bubble, which did burst, as they say, a few years ago. That's probably just a necessary correction. I mean, the fact that this technology is being originated in America does not change the effects of the technology. The technology will affect Americans as it affects all humans. There might be a slight characteristic stamp, perhaps. If, for instance, when we create an artificial intelligence, I don't think that the national identity of wherever it's originated will be primary in its circuits or in terms of its characteristic circuits. What will be most primary, I think, will be the values of the people who created or the scientists created. So I suspect that, if anything, we'll find, if there is a sort of a concocted artificial intelligence, that it will have more scientific values than perhaps artistic or emotional values at the beginning. So that certainly will be an imprint. But I don't really see, I'm happy that America is strong enough and diverse enough that some of these extraordinarily